1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with a special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the same alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone.
We're going to continue in Sung Worship now with another song video, which was voted for by our children and young people. It's one we're familiar with, and it is a version that we've used in church before with images from the Narnia films to accompany the music. There are no lyrics included, but do join in singing along however you're able. In Christ alone.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Here in the power of Christ, we stand. So we've been thinking about unity with Christ as the foundation, or indeed the overarching head of that unity. And as we move towards a time of communion, as a remembrance of and an expression of our overall unity in Christ, we're going to watch another short video which summarizes several elements of what it means to be living as church. Now, it is obviously aimed more at the children and young people, but given that Jesus told his disciples to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, that's good enough for me too. There is, however, a parental advisory lyric on the expression camel poo, however. So if you are of a sensitive disposition, please close your ears at that point. And the video starts with the Lord's Supper. Thank you, Eddie.
God's story, Jesus' Last Supper. So part of God's story is about the night before Jesus died, and it begins like this. Jesus knew he was going to go back to heaven soon, but he hadn't finished teaching his friends everything they needed to know. So he planned a special supper with 12 of his closest friends, called his disciples. A disciple means a Jesus follower. Anybody who follows Jesus gets to be his disciple and his friend, including you and me. So Jesus was sitting around the dinner table with his friends eating supper. We call it the Last Supper because it was the last meal they ate together before Jesus died on the cross. During the meal, Jesus suddenly left, got a big bucket of water and a towel, knelt down on the floor, and started washing the disciples' feet. That was awfully nice of Jesus because back then, people walked around on muddy roads without wearing shoes or sandals. They probably stepped in a lot of dirt and camel poop. And now here was Jesus kneeling right next to their dirty, sweaty, stinky, poop-caked feet. It might sound like Jesus really hated dirty feet, but even though dirty feet can be pretty gross, especially if you've just stepped in camel poop, Jesus was actually teaching his disciples how to act like him. See, Jesus came to earth so that he could serve other people, even if that meant helping them with things like scrubbing their stinky feet, because Jesus thinks helping people is the coolest. And after Jesus leaves, it's up to his disciples to show people how Jesus would act if he were still on earth. Do you think you could show somebody how to act like Jesus? Well, after that, Jesus had some more to teach his friends. Hopefully he washed his hands since he touched all those feet, but we don't know for sure. Anyway, Jesus knew the disciples might have a hard time always acting like him. So Jesus told them he was going to send a special helper called the Holy Spirit to show his friends how to act like him. And the Holy Spirit still helps Jesus' friends today. Well, after the exciting news about the Holy Spirit coming to help everyone, Jesus started teaching his friends how to stay close to him too, even when he's in heaven. We can stay close to Jesus by talking to him, listening to him, and obeying him by doing the things he was teaching. Jesus explained this by talking about a plant. First, he said that he is like a grapevine growing in a garden. His friends, that's us, are like the branches. God is like the gardener who comes out and helps make sure those branches are healthy and strong, growing juicy, delicious grapes. Think about what will happen if a branch falls off a grapevine. It's not going to be able to grow any grapes laying on the dirty ground. Instead, spiders and ants will come live in it, people will step on it, and it might become a bathroom for birds. So basically, we, the branches, need to be connected to Jesus, the vine, if we're going to be healthy disciples. That means we should talk to Jesus, listen to him, and obey him, even when we don't feel like it. We have to stay close to Jesus to be his followers. After all this garden talk, Jesus wanted to make sure the disciples knew how to pray. So he prayed and showed them that prayer is really just talking to God. Remember, kids, Jesus loves all of us so much that he wants us to stay close to him, just like his disciples. Staying close to Jesus doesn't just mean knowing stuff about him. It means knowing him like a friend by talking to him, listening to him, and showing that we love him by obeying what he teaches. And that's the story of Jesus' Last Supper. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Jesus ate dinner. He washed his friends' feet. That showed them how to help others. He told them the Holy Spirit was coming. The Holy Spirit helps us. Jesus wants us to stay close to him, like a vine and its branches. He talked to God. We can help others, get help from the Holy Spirit, stay close to Jesus, and talk to God too. And that's a part of God's story.
So the video talked about Jesus eating his final meal with his disciples, about serving others like Jesus, about praying or talking and listening to Jesus, about staying connected to Jesus, knowing Jesus like a friend, and about telling others about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And all of these things stem from our union with or communion with Jesus. And the Lord's Supper is the central unifying act for us as Christians. It joins us with Christ and joins us with each other. So as we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, as we eat the bread and drink the wine or the juice, we're united with him in a special way, and also united both with all those in our church family in the here and now, and with Christians across the world and throughout the ages who also take part in this special meal. I'm going to hand over now to Arthur and Liz, who will read and then pray for us.
Reading is taken from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.